This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled The Apocalypse of St. John. This is Lecture 9, given in Nuremberg on the 26th of June, 1908. In our description of the evolution of man, we yesterday reached the point at which, after the epoch characterized by the sounding of the seven trumpets, the earth with all its beings passes into another condition, when the physical dissolves, so to speak, and changes into something spiritual, but first something astral. An astral earth arises, and into it pass all the beings who are ripe for it, that is, who have become capable themselves of overcoming their material part and using it in the service of the spiritual. On the other hand, those who are unable to spiritualize the bodily material part, who cling to the material, are thrown out and form a sort of secondary earth, the study of which is very instructive for gaining knowledge of the future destiny of mankind. But to this end it is necessary that we clearly understand what has become, during this astralizing of our earth, of those who have reached the necessary degree of maturity, who have taken the Christ principle into themselves and allowed it to become active. We shall now occupy ourselves with what can develop out of man. We shall best understand this if we have the patience, once again, to consider what man has become and what possibilities of development lie within him for the future. At present, man consists of four principles. The first is the so-called physical body. This is the principle man has in common with all the present creations of the mineral kingdom. This part of man one can see with the eyes and grasp with the hands. It is the lowest principle of the human being, which alone remains as the corpse at death. But this physical body would fall to pieces were it not permeated by what we call the etheric body or life body. Man no longer has this etheric body in common with the mineral kingdom. He has it in common with the beings of the earthly plant kingdom. In every man, the fighter against death is the etheric body, which between birth and death holds together the parts of the physical body that continually have the tendency to disintegrate. What is the physical body of man? In reality, it is what it becomes a short while after death has destroyed the form. Ashes, a little heap of ashes, only artificially arranged in the life body, so that the whole man makes the impression he now does upon those who look at him. The second principle, then, is the ether, or life body. The third principle, which man has in common with the animals, is the so-called astral body, the vehicle of instincts, desires, passions, thoughts, ideas, and so on, all that is usually called the soul in man. Finally, we have the fourth principle of man, the one which makes him the crown of earthly creation, which makes him stand out above all the other beings, and enables him to develop as I, as an individual self-conscious being in earthly existence. In the future, the evolution of man will unfold in such a manner that he will gradually work from his ego upon the lower principles, so that the ego becomes their ruler. When the ego has thoroughly worked upon the astral body and taken possession of it, so that in this astral body there are no more unconscious and unguarded impulses, instincts, and passions, then the ego will have developed what we call spirit self, or manas. Spirit self is none other than the astral body, only the astral body is the third principle before it is transformed by the ego. When the ego transforms the etheric body, also life spirit, or buddhi, arises. And when, in the remotest future, the ego transforms the physical body, so that this is completely spiritualized by the ego, parenthesis, this is the most difficult work because the physical body is the densest, close parenthesis, then the physical body develops into the highest principle of man, namely Atma, or spirit man. Thus, if we conceive of man in his sevenfold nature, we have the physical body, the etheric or life body, the astral body, and the ego. Further, we have what man will develop in the future, spirit self, or manas, life spirit, or buddhi, and spirit man, or Atma. That is the sevenfold being of man. However, he will only develop these higher principles in the far distant future. It is not yet in man's power, while on the earth, to work so far upon himself as to bring all these higher spiritual parts to development. If we consider sevenfold man in this way, we shall, however, still not fully comprehend the man we see before us today. It is indeed true that if we survey man as a whole, we may speak of these seven principles. But if we wish to understand a present-day man, we must be more exact. You will remember that the physical body was developed on Saturn, the etheric body on the Sun, the astral body on the Moon, and that the ego is to be developed on the Earth. It has already developed to a certain degree. We must now observe this earthly evolution of man somewhat more closely. The greater portion of mankind will only have gained the power to work quite consciously in the spirit self, in the transformed astral body, at the close of the earth evolution. On the other hand, during our earthly evolution, man had to pass through a kind of preparation, which made it possible for him to work half consciously and half unconsciously, as it were, on his three lower principles. This half conscious and half unconscious work began in the Lemurian epoch, to which we have already referred. At that time, the ego began to work in a very dim consciousness, and at first, in fact, on the astral body. If therefore you follow the earth development from the Lemurian epoch into the first portion of the Atlantean, you will find the ego worked at first in a very dim consciousness, half unconsciously only on his astral body. What then appeared on the earth as the product of the transformation of the astral body, we call sentient soul. Then during the Atlantean epoch, when the air was filled with dense volumes of water vapor, the ego worked in dim consciousness on the etheric body and produced what we call intellectual soul or mind soul. And from the time when, from the country in the neighborhood of the present Ireland, the great impulse came which drove the peoples from the west toward the east and led beyond the great Atlantean flood to our new culture, from the beginning of the last third of the Atlantean epoch, the ego worked unconsciously on the physical body. It worked into it what one calls the consciousness soul, what gave man the foundation to work out of the group soul nature a more or less self-conscious ego, which first received the great impulse toward complete individuality with the appearance of Christ Jesus. Then only did man really become capable of what one may call working more or less consciously on the astral body. Really, only since the advent of the Christ impulse on earth have we begun to work consciously on our astral body. So that if we speak of man today, we have to say that he has developed physical body, etheric body, astral body, then sentient soul, parenthesis the astral body, which was formerly transformed in dim consciousness, close parenthesis, intellectual soul, parenthesis the etheric body, which was dimly transformed in the Atlantean epoch, close parenthesis, and the consciousness soul, parenthesis the physical body, which was dimly transformed in the later portion of the Atlantean epoch, close parenthesis, so that he gradually matured to where he could develop spirit self, manas, as far as it can be observed in man today. All men now possess the rudiments of manas, but one has more, another less. Many will still have to go through many incarnations before they have developed manas far enough to become aware of what they are working upon within their human being. But when the earth has reached its goal, when the seventh trumpet begins to sound, the following will be observed. What exists of the physical body will be dissolved like salt in warm water. Man's spirit self will be developed to a high degree, so that man will repeat again and again the words of Paul, "Not I, but Christ in me does everything." Thus man will live. This will enable him to dissolve the physical nature and make the ennobled etheric into a being which can live in the astralized earth. Thus man, a new being, will live over into this spiritualized earth. We might say that the important stage of passing over into the earth which has become spiritualized is wonderfully expressed in the Bible, where it says that everything which man now accomplishes within himself in the physical body during the earth period is like a sowing whose fruit will appear when the earth has become spiritual. "And that which thou sowest is not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Parenthesis, that is, the body which is the expression of the soul, of the individuality. Close parenthesis. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial body is one, and the glory of the terrestrial body is another. That was from the Bible, I believe. Parenthesis, the earthly bodies will be dissolved. The celestial will appear as the luminous expression of what the soul is. Close parenthesis, again the Bible. It is sown corruptible and will rise incorruptible. Parenthesis, the incorruptible body will then be resurrected. Close parenthesis. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Parenthesis, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 37. Close parenthesis. Paul calls the etheric or life body spiritual body, after the physical has dissolved and the etheric passes into the astral earth. Paul here sees beforehand the incorruptible spiritual body, as he calls it. And now let us consider what it is that man will contribute as the expression of his own Christ capacity. It is the same that hovered before Paul in spirit, and that he calls, quote, the last Adam, close quote, while he calls the first man who entered into existence in a physically visible body, quote, the first Adam, close quote. At the end of the Lemurian epoch, we already find various animals below, but man is not yet visible to external eyes. He is still etheric. He condenses, he absorbs mineral constituents, and appears in his first form. The physical man gradually appears, just as water condenses into ice. Physical evolution then proceeds so far that what is earthly can dissolve and eventually disappears. Hence, the man who has the etheric body appears as the last Adam. The first Adam has the capacity of seeing the earth in the physical body through the physical senses. The last Adam, who assumes a spiritual body, is an expression of the inner Christ capacity. Hence Christ is also called by Paul the last Adam. This comprises the whole of human evolution. In spirit we see what man will become in the future, whereas before we saw how he descends to the earth. Now to understand the following, we must look a little more deeply into the mysteries of man's becoming. If you could observe man before his body became physical, that is to say, when he was still invisible to physical eyes, when he first descended from the etheric, so to speak, by becoming first an airy, watery structure, then a cartilaginous structure, if you could follow him thus, you would see that our earth was also quite different. In the time before the descent of man, there was really no mineral kingdom. The earth only possessed the heritage of the moon. The lowest kingdom was the plant kingdom, and the earth was much softer. The distribution of the watery and gaseous substances was quite different. If you had looked at the earth before man had descended from the surrounding atmosphere to the solid ground, it would not have appeared to you as the abstract product described in modern geology, etc. One might say that our earth as a whole was at that time much more like an organism. It was permeated with all kinds of ordered currents, and was more like a living being than it is now. And man, who existed in that ancient time more as a spiritual, etheric being, was not born as he is today, but he was, so to say, brought forth out of Mother Earth herself. It was Mother Earth herself that produced man, that still spiritually etheric being. Before man separated from the whole earth, he was a being who was really bound up with the whole earth. Imagine a body which is soft, and in it hardened parts appear. This will give you a picture of how men were at that time born from Mother Earth. They were connected with the earth by all kinds of currents, and remained connected with it. Hence man had an entirely different life. For example, the circulation of the blood, which is now confined within the limits of the skin, extended everywhere into the surrounding earth. It existed in the form of natural forces. If we wished to draw a picture of what it was like at that time, we should have to say, there arose within the earth, perceptible not to physical eyes but to spiritual vision, a part which was different and could be distinguished from the rest of the environment. But the forces in it were connected by innumerable threads with the rest of the whole earth. That was the beginning of a physical man. There was a time when man was connected in this way by threads with the rest of the earth. As we have said, we are now touching upon an important and earnest mystery, the last traces of which may be seen in the fact that when man is born at the present time, the connection with the maternal organism made by the umbilical cord is severed. This connection with the organism of the mother is the last remains of the connection man had with Mother Earth. And just as today man is a son of man, born from man, he was once a son of earth, born of the earth, when the earth was still a living being. He became independent through the umbilical cord, by which he was connected with the whole earth, being severed, so to speak. He thereby became a being born of his own kind. We must clearly understand that the paths of the blood now existing in man are nothing other than continuations of currents which in the ancient condition of the earth permeated the whole earth. It is the same with the nerves. All the nerves extended into Mother Earth, these are now sundered, as it were, from what streamed through the whole earth as nerves. And the same goes for the other parts of the human being. Man is born out of Mother Earth. What is now enclosed within the skin has been drawn into it from the whole earth. The being of man is taken from the earth. The forces of the whole earth are in him. Before he became a son of man, he was a son of earth. The name Adam really means son of earth. All these ancient names point to important secrets. And when we are aware of this, we shall understand that before the visible man appeared on the earth, it already contained within it all the forces of this visible man. Before man became a human being, the earth was the bearer of all human forces. Thus the earth is the mother of mankind. However little you can imagine that man could ever grow out of the present stony earth, he did indeed spring forth from the earth when it was still a living being. What we have just briefly indicated took place in the Lemurian epoch. If we were to ask ourselves whether the earth was not indeed exceedingly important for man, we would have to say yes, it was, for in its original form it contained all that man later took into himself. In one part the heart was prepared, in another the brain. In our earth every nerve fiber was prepared. And just as our inner being was prepared in the earth, in the same way, in what we shall have developed as our new body when the earth has reached its goal, will we carry within us the form which the future planet, the future embodiment of our earth, must assume. Today man works upon his soul, In this way, he makes his body more and more like the soul. And when the earth has arrived at the end of its mission, his body will have become an outward image of the soul which has taken Christ into itself. Such a man will survive and implant in the next embodiment of our earth the forces he has thus developed. Jupiter will have an appearance such as men are able to bring about by constructing it out of their own bodies. This Jupiter will, to begin with, receive its form from what man has made for himself. Imagine that all the bodies that have formed themselves in this way are united in a single cosmic sphere. That will be Jupiter. In your soul, you have the germs of the future form of Jupiter and of the forces it will contain. And out of Jupiter will be born Jupiter beings. Thus man is now preparing for the birth of the Jupiter bodies. What, therefore, must man do in order to give a worthy form to the future embodiment of our earth? He must take care that the work he can now do consciously is done in the Christ-like way, so that the etheric body, which will be an image of this work, will enter worthily into the spiritualized earth. All the parts of this body will be just as man has made them. He will bring into this spiritual earth what he has made of his physical body, and this will be the foundation for his future evolution. Just as your present soul develops in your present body, which you have inherited from the moon, so your future soul will develop in what you yourselves make out of your own body. Hence the body, the envelope of the soul, which clothes the ego, which is inhabited by the ego, is described as the temple of the ego within, the temple of the divinity dwelling in man, the temple of God. When, therefore, you form this body, you are building a future temple, that is to say, the new incarnation of the earth. You build up Jupiter in the proper measure by shaping the human body in the right way. What, therefore, must appear when the earth has reached its goal? A temple of the soul, harmonious in all its measurements. Hence the initiate is commissioned to examine this temple, which man will then have built. When this temple of God is measured, it will be made manifest whether the soul has done what is right. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel said, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein, but leave out the outer court. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. This means all that was there as a preparation must be thrown out of the temple. Man had first to have a physical body and etheric body before he could work in them. These bodies are the outer court and must fall away. They must be thrown out. That alone which man has made does he keep. That is the temple in which are to live the new beings in the time of Jupiter existence. We shall live then in an earth which has become spiritual. We see how the pattern of this Jupiter time is already being prepared. We see foreshadowed how men bring with them the fruits of their earth existence. And now we must clearly understand that all that was there before reappears in this spiritual condition of the earth in a higher state of evolution. Most prominent are the bearers of the spiritual currents upon which the earth is founded and from which it has proceeded. The bearers of these currents appear in living form. In the Christian tradition, Elias and Moses are seen as the personal representatives of what we found in yesterday's lecture in the two pillars. In Christian esotericism, Elias and Moses are looked upon as those who give the teachings of the two pillars. Elias was the one who brought to man the knowledge and message of the one pillar, the pillar of strength. Moses, the one who brought the message of the pillar of wisdom. Moses means wisdom or truth, and Elias means the directing force, that which points the direction, that which gives the impulse. Thus we see these two appear in the spiritualized world at the stage of evolution they will then have reached. In the transfiguration of Christian tradition, Christ appeared between Moses and Elias, and this entire process appears at the end of the earth evolution in such a way that the Son, the spiritual Son, S-U-N, of love, the revelation of the earth mission of love, appears supported by Sun Mars and Moon Mercury, by Elias and Moses. Just as yesterday we saw the two pillars, which at first appear before the initiate as the symbols of strength and wisdom, and above the Sun of Love, S-U-N, so we may now picture the evolution of the earth a stage further, and the one pillar will appear in its living nature, in its personal form as Elias, and the other as Moses, and what is above as the veritable Christ principle. If we now turn our attention away from the earth itself, and what is upon it, and consider it in connection with the whole space of heaven, we shall find we have arrived at a very important matter at the time of which we are now speaking. Earth and sun comprised one body. The earth developed out of the sun, and the moon split off. We have said that this had to take place to obtain the right speed of evolution. But now, when man has passed through these stages of development, after he has spiritualized himself, he is ready to unite again with the forces upon the sun. He can proceed at the same tempo as the sun. An important cosmic event now takes place. The earth reunites with the sun. While that of which we have spoken is taking place, the earth unites with the sun. We said that the sun spirits descended to the earth at the event of Golgotha, that this Christ principle will be the means of bringing evolution to the point we have described. The earth will then be ready to unite with the sun. And what was necessary in order that evolution should not proceed too quickly, namely the moon, will be overcome, for man will no longer need it. The forces of the moon will be overcome. At this stage man can unite with the sun. He will live in the spiritualized earth, and at the same time be united with the force of the sun, and he will be the conqueror of the moon. This is seen in spirit vision, as represented by the symbolical figure of the fifth occult seal, the woman who bears the sun within her and has the moon beneath her feet. Thus we have arrived at the moment when man is spiritualized, when he reunites with the forces of the sun, when earth and sun form one body and the moon forces are overcome. Parenthesis, see the fifth occult seal picture. Close parenthesis. Now we must remember that only the most advanced beings who have been impregnated by the principle of Christ have passed through this development. They have reached thus far. But those who have hardened in matter have fallen away and formed, so to speak, a kind of secondary planet of hardened flesh-like matter. Now remember what man looked like to astral vision before he descended to the earth as a physical being. We pointed out that he appeared in the four types of his group soul, in the form of the lion, the eagle, the bull, and the man. These four types of the group soul meet us, so to speak, before man descends into the physical, before he is individualized. These four typical forms which man had before he entered into the physical body are invisible in the present physical human being. They are in the soul force, pressed, as it were, into the human form like india rubber. It is in fact the case that when man loses control over himself, when his soul becomes silent, either by going to sleep or otherwise falling into a more or less unconscious condition, then one still sees today how the corresponding animal type comes out. But on the whole, man has overcome this animal type by having descended to the physical plane. When did he receive the power to overcome in the astral world the animal type? Now you will remember that we spoke of the seven ages of the Atlantean evolution. These seven ages comprise the first four and the last three. In the first four, man was completely group soul. Then in the fifth age, the first impulse for the ego soul originated. Therefore, we have the four stages of development in Atlantis, during which man first progresses as group soul. And each of the first four Atlantean races corresponds to one of the typical animal forms, lion, eagle, calf or bull, and man. This passes over into the human stage in the fifth age. These typical forms are then lost. Now imagine that in the present epoch, man permeates himself with the Christ principle, and thereby conquers his animal nature more and more. But if he does not permeate himself with the Christ principle, he does not overcome the animal nature. The four typical heads, lion, eagle, bull, and man, remain, so to speak, as something which assumes its form again as soon as it has the opportunity. And in addition come three others, those of the last three races of the Atlantean epoch, when man had already begun to be human. These three also remain, if man does not work in his soul so that this animal nature disappears. How then will a man appear on the spiritualized earth who during our epoch has not taken into himself the Christ principle? He will appear in materiality. He will reappear in the shapes from which he has come. He has had these animal forms and has passed through three others as well. He has left unused what could have overcome the animal nature. The animal nature springs forth again in seven forms. As once in Atlantis there emerged the four heads, the animal man, so out of the transformed earth, the astralized earth, seven such typical heads will again emerge, and the drama that took place at that time will be reenacted. The germ of the spiritual man was there, but he could not yet develop an individual form. He developed the four animal heads. The embryo man of that epoch is also represented by the woman who brings forth man. The man of the future is also represented by the woman who gives birth to the spiritual man. But what has remained in the flesh is represented on the secondary earth by the animal with seven heads. Just as there were four heads in the period before man had the possibility of overcoming the animal nature, so those who have remained in the animal nature will appear as one entity, as the beast with the seven heads. Thus in the future, after the earth is united with the sun, while the spiritualized earth is above, there actually appears below all that has not taken into itself the spiritual principle. The animal heads reappear which were there formerly, except that now they are out of their time. They are now the adversary. Previously they were in the right period, the period of preparation. Thus we see that as at that time there arose from the physical, there now arises from the astral sea, the sun is also astralized, the monster with the seven heads, the seven-headed beast. Please note that all that was deposited in man by the etheric body is called in the mystery language, which the apocalyptist also uses, a head, because when seen clairvoyantly, it produces a typical form of head, such as that of a lion. The etheric forces have to work upon it. If we follow the Atlantean evolution, we find that the etheric body was still outside the head. Whatever in man is due to the etheric is called in the language of the apocalyptic mysteries head. This therefore refers to what is seen by clairvoyant vision chiefly as a head. But what is brought about physically in man through some part of the etheric body is called a horn. Thus in the language of the mysteries, a horn is a very mysterious thing. For example, what has been brought about physically in man through his having passed through that race of the Atlantean epoch in which the lion was the typical group soul is called a horn. Thus the physical part which comes from some member of the etheric body is called a horn. A horn is the organ which is the external physical expression for something etheric. I will now speak concretely to you. All the physical organs of man are really densified etheric organs. They have proceeded from the condensed etheric body. Let us consider the human heart. Today it is a physical organ, but it has condensed from an etheric organ. This present human heart received its rudiments when man went through the group soul nature designated as the lion. Thus the heart is the horn of the lion head. For when the etheric body had progressed so far that man appeared with the group soul symbolized by the lion's head, the rudimentary foundations were formed for what later developed into the human heart. From this germ of the lion man originated the present human physical heart. While, therefore, we trace back the origin of the etheric body to the changing of one head into another, to the addition of one head to another, we understand the human physical body as the addition of one horn to another. The human etheric body actually consists of heads, the human physical body of horns. That is the language of the mysteries. All the organs of man have developed out of the etheric body. They are therefore a collection of horns. We have now to reflect upon all that we have heard, for this is something of which even the Apocalyptist says, "Here is wisdom." We shall only understand this wisdom, which the writer of the Apocalypse has put into the appearance of the seven-headed beast with 10 horns, if we carefully ponder over what horn really is in relation to head in the language of the mysteries. We shall see that the beings who have kept these 7 heads, because they have remained behind in evolution, have in fact acquired in the abyss a physical body which consists of 10 hardened members of the physical body. The end of Lecture 9.